So we spoke yesterday about repentance tshuva. We spoke about changing our consciousness, getting into recalibrating our consciousness by constantly living moment to moment. So now we're going to talk about Rav Nachman's. What is Rav Nachman's essence of tshuva, right? What is his? How do you know you've grown? Like what is the indication of that how you have grown? And Rav Nachman's going to tell you something really out of the box that you're not going to hear. And if you hear this probably in a, you know, in a secular place, they're going to look at you like, what are you, nuts? It's completely the opposite of what the world is teaching us. Excuse the sirens. We're only here in Aventura, so I don't know how much trouble there could be. Okay, so Rav Nachman tells us that what is an indication that you have true sign of repentance, true sign that you return to God, is where you can hear yourself becoming insulted and remaining silent. He can endure even the most murderous abuse with patience. Through this, what happens is when you get insulted, you have a left side of your heart and you have a right side of your heart. The left side of your heart is where all the trouble is. That is where all the passions, all the desires, all the hate, all the evil is in the left side of your heart. So basically, God gives us an opportunity and he sends us people to embarrass us or to insult us or whatever. And that gives us an opportunity to pretty much flush the left side of your heart by cleansing it. And once you cleanse it, basically you're purified. Remember, sin can only come to a person, right? When a person, judgment comes, but if he's purified before, nothing can happen to him. So this is why, again, if you don't understand these teachings, you're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean I can get insulted and remain quiet? Of course, we're not telling you to jump into a relationship where you're getting abused and all that. But really, in general, you really cannot really get abused unless you make it about you. It's a very deep concept. So what Rav Nachman is telling us here is if you understood the power of humility, which is not being self-centered and not thinking of yourself all the time, right? Then you can really do genuine tshuva. You understand? You cannot do tshuva if you're constantly thinking about yourself all the time. Because then you're always going to be hurt about every single comment. That means you're far away from it. You're very, very far away from it. And then you'll recognize the compassion of people. And this is a question that I got on Instagram Live. Pretty much the same question. I'm getting abused. I'm getting caught. I'm getting insulted. I'm getting this. Troubles and trouble. It's always the same question over and over again. And the essence of tshuva is to be able to constantly not be self-centered. That is how you know you're growing. That you when you're less when you get criticized or people say things to you, it doesn't bother you as much. That is a sign of growth because you start understanding them and you recognize this is their opinion. That doesn't mean it's my opinion. But when we don't have when we still have all these desires, and remember, when do exactly what makes us constantly get what are areas of our lives? Because remember, when we sin, we're sort of insulting God, technically. Technically, you're insulting God, right? When you, God forbid, spill seed, and God forbid, you do, you know, watch the murder, you're sort of insulting God because you forgot about God at that moment. When you steal, you're sort of insulting God because you're losing faith and you're believing that you can go take something without anybody watching. So it's sort of an insult. So what happens? God ultimately has to purify us, and he purifies us with other people. And if we handle that well, we get purified, and then we come to a higher level of tshuva. Specifically, the areas of sexual promiscuity, those embarrassments such as having no money, such as having getting rejected by girls, rejected by guys, all of this stuff is a major, major purification. And we could take a look at it two ways. We could take a look at it one way. I'm a loser. Nobody loves me. Everybody's rejecting me, or we could look at it, thank you, God, for cleansing me and showing me this. And believe me, when I was gambling, when I was 22, and I had to go pay back people, and I was getting those American Express, when you're paying, those were tremendously insulting. It was not insulting, it was a cleansing. And this is exactly what we need to understand that. So once you start recognizing And when you get insulted by somebody, you should say, you know, I probably insulted God. This is why this is coming to me. Now, this is a that's why this is this conversation. You have to really be in the program to understand these teachings. Because if you're like, you know, on another program, you're going to look at it and probably shut off the recording. But this is the truth. This is the truth. That usually the insults, this is why our sages tell us, when you have a lot of friends below, you have a lot of friends above. When you have no, when you have a lot of enemies below, you have a lot of enemies above. What are you talking about? Yes, absolutely. Because you're not judging yourself favorably. And because you're not judging yourself favorably, you have this grasshopper theory that, oh, I feel like a grasshopper, therefore everybody else is calling me a grasshopper. This is exactly why we didn't get to Eretz Yisrael. You basically are taking the portion of divine and you are making it, you're belittling it. You're taking the godliness and you're acting like a peasant. Imagine you come from, and this is the, Rav Nachman talks about the stories of the exchange students and the princess. It's all about going back to your soul state. You forgot who you were. People forget who they are. They forget where they come from. They forget their lineage. And they start acting like peasants, even though they're sons of God and sons of a king. And this has to, ultimately, your creator will do anything in the world to try to get you out of that. So the true sign of a person who has returned to God is when he can hear himself being insulted and remain silent. He can endure even the most abuse with patience. Through this, he reduces the blood on the left side of his heart, the seat of the animal soul. We have the seat of the animal soul on the left side of the heart, the right side. This is why we put on tefillin on the left side of the heart. And then he slaughters his evil inclination. So technically, when you get rejected in life, and when you get insulted, you should picture it as you're getting a blood transfusion. Imagine, God forbid, you had cancer and you needed like a pint of blood spiritually to cleanse you. That is what it is. That is like a new blood. Can you imagine that? If you looked at it that way, you would be like, oh my God, I'll do anything. I'll do anything for the new blood. We are far from this level, but at least we can shoot for that level. We can have that level in potential. We're not there at that level, but we can pray. So this is a sign where you don't walk around like a victim, because no matter what, at the end of the day, you recognize it's coming from Hashem. And that is the ultimate highest sign of repentance. So when we go to Uman, and this is why Rav Nachman purposely, when we went to Turkey and he got to Eretz Yisrael, he purposely got insulted and abused so bad in that trip to Turkey. He says, if it wasn't for those insults and abuses that came to me on my trip to Turkey, I would have never made it to Eretz Yisrael. So you could see how important. Now, what happens when you take an insult and you don't make it about you? You become humble, and then basically you almost become nullified with God. You come to such a level of surrender, of light, that you're like, oh my God, this is such powerful. I'm not giving away my energy. What would your life look like if you didn't give away your energy? What would your life look like? Just ask yourself, what would your life look like if you stopped becoming a victim? If you stop becoming a victim, what would you look like? And where is all of this? Is all coming from fear of rejection, fear of approval. It's not real. Pain is real. Let's be honest, guys. Pain is real. Fear is not. No question, pain is real. Absolutely, pain is real. But fear is not. Fear of approval, fear of being alone, all of these fears are all nonsense. It's all nonsense. So what happens is, instead of recognizing that, what do? We do the opposite. We look for more approval and more validation. And then what happens? You get more rejected. See how it works? The fear makes you want to be more and more secure. And then because you're more and more and more secure, you actually do the opposite. You get pushed away more and more. And this is where nobody's running to answer the phone call of the needy person on the phone, right? Everybody looks at the phone. Ugh. Nobody's running to get that phone call. Oh, I can't wait to talk to that needy person. We avoid them. Because neediness is a fear of not being approved, not being accepted. So this is where they didn't teach us this. If you don't hear Rav Nachman's teachings, you're like, what in the world? And if you'll go to, you know, you go to from therapist, but at the end of the day, this is the essence of tshuva. It's completely not taking things personal, because you've gotten to such a level of knowing who you are that other people have no opinion. You know your opinion, nobody else. You can care less about what they say. That is the ultimate highest level of tshuva. This is why breast lovers, they love the bishyonot. If you go to the breast lovers, they couldn't care what people say, screaming, you're crazy, you're this, you're going there. They couldn't care less. You know what, you understand what kind of freedom that is? They couldn't care less. They laugh at people. When they laugh, when screaming and insult the breast lover, they laugh in their face. They laugh in their face and they smile and they dance with them. What kind of level is that? Think about it. Somebody insults you, not only do you not care, you take the guy by the hand, you start dancing with him. That's Reb Nachman. That's what Reb Nachman can get you. It looks like a whole, you know, show and dance, but that is the essence of Reb Nachman, where you're not running to become a somebody, you're running to become a nobody. Not a nobody, like, you're getting to such a level of bittul that you have absolutely no fear. Now what happens when you get this? What happens when you master this concept of not caring what people say about you and not getting insulted? Then you pretty much do what you want in life. You can get married without worrying about failure. You can open up businesses without worrying about failure. It's not about you. That's what it does for you. It gets to such a high level of humility, which is self-esteem, that you end up living your life how you should live your life. And you're no, that, what is that worth today? What is that worry? What is that worry? It's almost like living a life where you couldn't, what would you do in life if you couldn't fail? That's the kind of life. That's the result of it. Because if everybody lived like that, they would do their dreams, they wouldn't care about failure, they wouldn't care about approval, and they would do what they want. What is that worth right now? It might take you years, 25 years of therapy to get to that level. But you can get it through Reb Nachman's teachings, through a daily Hizbul Gedut. So when I looked at the questions of these phone, you know, when I looked at the questions, I knew that we're not getting to that level. And when we are reaching that level of tshuva, that we can get, again, you have to pray for it, you have to master it, you have to let go of things. But when you get to this level, you are now in line with your Creator, and then He reveals to you everything. He gives you insights. You connect to Him easier because you're humble. That's humility. But when I'm thinking and I'm waiting on approval for other people and I'm constantly worrying about them rejecting me, I'm no longer free. I'm a slave to people's approval. And that's what society today, I would say, is slave to approval. And if you don't get the approval, you're depressed. If I don't get 1.5 million likes, I only get 900,000, it's the end, my day's over. You understand it? We're in a society where you can't win. You can't win because that is how you're judging yourself. You would figure people in Hollywood, they would be the most spiritual, happiest people, but yet you could see the opposite because they're living on validation. And if the validation doesn't come, you can have 7 good movies, you have 1 bad movie, you're nobody. That's pretty sad, isn't it? You imagine imagine how much work you did to get to there, and then all of a sudden you see suicide rates. So something's off here. Something's off here. So this is where Reb Nachman tells us that the beginning of teshuva is when a person has this level of humility where he doesn't care if he's insulted because he knows who he is. And if he knows who he is, why should he care if he's insulted? Why should he care? Again, we are all human beings. We're not perfect. But at least we can shoot to get to this level. That means when you can be in a marriage and you're not, and somebody, and your wife yells at you or your husband yells at you, and you recognize it's not about you, it's about them, they're having a bad day, that is such a level of humility. And you're no longer giving away you're not giving away your energy anymore. And you're not only that, but you're also cleansing the left side of your heart. This is where our sages tell us that when a person gets insulted and he does not respond, he has the ability to give a blessing. Do you understand? You get a blessing because you got the light of Keter. You got the light of renewal. And once you're renewed, you have no sins. If you have no sins, your blessings, what stops a person's blessings from being fulfilled? His sins. But if he gets cleansed and he handles it well, he's like a brand new person. He has no sins. Why do we think we get a blessing from a tzandak? Because the minute a tzandak does he becomes a tzandak, he's like a brand new person. He's free of sin. That's the tikkun of it, the rectification of it. So anytime we get a cleansing, there's a blessing if it's handled well. And again, this is not going to be a thing where you're going to be able to do in practice unless you really work on surrendering before. The more you surrender, the easier it is for you not to take things personal. But the less you work on yourself, it's going to almost be an impossible thing. And this is where you've seen a lot of people go, how much time? I'm abused. I'm getting this. I'm getting that. I'm getting this. I'm getting this. Again, there is physical abuse with little kids, God forbid. But as an adult, verbally abusing is really an opinion. I can notice that person yelling at me. That person is not well. What does that have to do with me? Why am I always making everything about me? That is a lack of humility. That is a form of arrogance. So it's never too late to have a happy childhood. It's never too late to have a happy marriage when we both become more, less self-centered and more humble. And more humble means we look at the whole picture. We don't take everything personal. And this is the essence of tshuva. Teshuva is mainly achieved through humility. You can't be arrogant in the tshuva. Because remember, I'm reborn. I'm going to become reborn. One has to make himself like nothing, Rav Nachman says. And we, by the way, this is not just a breathless thing. We say it every single day. We say this in the Amidah. Elohei Netzor L'Shonei Mira. At the end of the Amidah, you're saying every single day, you're asking yourself that let my soul be like dust that people trample on and not respond. That my soul be dumb, silent. You're saying this every day. You're saying this three times a day. So if we're saying this three times a day, we should walk around really, really humble. But one thing is what we say, one thing is what we believe. That's the disconnect today, is what we're saying. But you're actually saying this three times a day. Everybody who prays Shachrit, Amidah, and Mincha, and Arvit, says it three times a day. That is where anybody gets into Breslov, they are rich. Just like you would go to the Navy SEAL training, they train you in Bishyonot training. They train you on how to handle insults. And I remember starting my classes, if it wasn't for these training, oh, you're not a rabbi. It was that sense of, I couldn't care less. That, the confidence of, I couldn't care less. You like it, you don't like it. I couldn't care less. You're not paying my bills, you're not doing this. And it's not arrogance, it's a form of not caring, not needing you to approve me to live my life. I don't need you to approve me to live my life. I'm going to live my life. If you want to come on the train with me, God bless you. If you don't want to come on the train, you don't have to come on the train. That's the level of confidence that we all need. And that is really the highest level of humility. It's humility because you recognize your own gift and your own portion that you've been given. It's a lack of humility when you become a victim and you get depressed and you get sad because of other people's opinion. And that's only teaching us that we have a lot of work to do, and it's teaching us that there's a lot of surrendering and we need to constantly work on self-esteem. Nobody gets there like this. It's a process. But you practice it, you pray for it, you notice the problem, you work on the problem, and then once you show up to a date as a giver and you show up like that, what do you think happens in your marriage when you're less self-centered? Your marriage is technically become much better because you're both not fighting all the time. Somebody is in emotionally more stable than the other one, and they're putting the pause. They'll apologize, they'll whatever has to happen. But it's not all about you. Because it's impossible to be married today or to be in a relationship with another when people are in a bad mood. There's a lot of stress going on today. There's a thousand things happening today. It's almost physically impossible to be in a great mood 100% of the day. You know, specifically, we all got a thousand things going on. And you could recognize, okay, you're overwhelmed. I understand why you said that. I know you didn't mean it. But otherwise, you would take everything so personal. That's really the highest form of tshuva, when you stop taking things personal. That's how you know you're growing, conscious level, and you can give the person the benefit of the doubt. And this is why Rabbi Akiva was rewarded so much. Before Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva, there was a story in the Gemara that he got basically worked for somebody for a certain amount of years, and he didn't get paid. And they asked him, well, how were you able to live with this peacefully? Because there were three incidences where he gave them the benefit of the doubt. How in the world did Rabbi Akiva, where the Torah is coming from? Because Rabbi Akiva mastered giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. I'm not telling you to put yourself in bad business. You have to have doubt also. You can't go, you know, the guy's a thief and he's not honest. You can't go back and forth and give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Okay, the guy's mistake, he's a thief. Don't put yourself back in that position again. But you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And then once you live like this, then your Yom Kippurs will be very, very, very easily. Because you're an easygoing person. You're living in a different, and that is the normal tshuva. Tshuva is mainly achieved through humility. One has to make himself like nothing, like a wasteland that people trample on. He has to pay no attention whatever for what opposition or contempt in which may people treat him. He should train himself to be silent when he hears himself insulted. Someone like this is worthy of being called wise, and he will attain the crown, which is the summit of the Sefirot. Going to Uman, that was definitely a whole cleansing situation. I knew because there's so much cleansing, wow, there's got to be so much blessing. My mind was not on the what people said. I'm like, I'm okay, thank you. When you pray, when you have a certain amount of prayers that you do every single day, you get a lot of clarity. Praying gives you clarity. So it's very hard to take advice from people who don't have clarity. They're living on fear. And this is where the majority of advice we get today, people don't have, they have no clarity themselves. So how could you take their advice at the end of the day? I always tell people, I don't take advice from people, I don't take criticism from people I wouldn't take advice from. So that usually checked off a lot of things. And this is where Reb Nachman tells us that another way of attaining humility is when a person is, again, if you're not growing, you can't be humble. Because that means you're not putting in the effort also. So this is as a result of growth and maturity and wisdom, everything changes. But I can't master this if I'm not growing. That means that this takes a lot of effort. For me to become humble and for me to work on myself, I have to be able to handle pain well. I have to be able to handle failures well. If you don't handle failures well, you're stuck in the past, there's no way you can achieve this. So that's where you need a lot of, again, you need to be able to, every single situation in our lives, we have to be able to get the lesson out of it. That lesson transforms into wisdom. There's no such thing as I'm a failure. I am bad. I am this. There's no such thing as that. It's either, did you get wisdom out of that situation? I've gotten so much wisdom, believe it or not. I went to college. The wisdom I got in life, I didn't get in college. Contrary to popular belief, I did not get in college. I got it through massive, massive screw-ups. That's where they got the... But they were handled well. The failure was not about me. It was a lesson that God wanted to teach me for the future. Thank you for the lesson. So we should walk around with this always growth, humble mindset. Can you get knocked down if you're humble? Not really. Because you're not. It's not about you. You can't get knocked down. Think about it. How could you get, this is why our sages tell us, we come from the ground and we're going to get buried in the ground. So the segula in life is to stay grounded. Think about it. You come from Ofer and you're going to get buried in Ofer. You want to win? Stay grounded. Stay close to the earth. You can't get knocked down. And that's by not being self-centered. When a person is completely humble and he's in such a state of this level, he can attain Torah very easily. And not only that, but his Torah will help radiate souls. Now, talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the master of humility. The Moshe Rabbeinu was quiet, sitting, learning by himself. No, he was constantly defending people, constantly defending them. Doesn't mean he was quiet. He was a warrior. Moshe Rabbeinu was a warrior. They complained, they belittled him, they insulted him, and he still defended them. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu get insulted? How many times? Another person would have quit a long time ago. He was constantly insulted, but he was a state of, Moshe Rabbeinu was Afra, was Ma. What? How can you insult me if there's nothing to insult? He knew his greatness. And that's why he says, "Do erase me from the book. If you do not forgive them, erase me from the book." Because it's not about me going up, it's about all of us. Same thing. When we pray, when we're in a situation in life Where Shalom Bayit, you have to pray for the marriage, not just for you. If you're just praying for you, not for the marriage, not for the united soul, this is a high level. When I pray for Shalom Bayit, I should say, help the united soul have peace. Because if I'm saying, help me have peace and not her, then it's a separation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, all of us, all of us. So this is where you hear Rabbi Rush saying, a person who prays for Am Yisrael, it's like charity, because he's giving charity. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about the whole nation, because he knows, you know, this trip showed me that how much everybody affects each other. I wasn't on the bus themselves, because I don't have that level of patience. But you could see, there could be a bus of 30, 40, 50 people on a bus. And if one guy's passport was not good, they're holding up the border. They're holding up that whole bus for one guy's passport. 49 could be good. One guy's passport could have a problem. Nobody's going. We are all responsible for each other. You can't say my passport is good. Who cares about his? Just like the analogy that the Torah gives us, that you can't, when you put a hole in the boat, it's your cabin. No, the whole boat sinks. So this is where the more I judge you favorably, the more there's a collective judgment favorably for all of us. And this is such an important thing. We have to judge each other favorably. And I never saw, like this year, the beauty specifically of all the obstacles that people went through. I never saw such strength in the Israelis before, how they paid no attention to the news. 100% of the Israelis went to Uman, 90, 100%. And I said, wow, look at this nation, look what they go through. Look at all the pain they go through, but they show up, they couldn't care less. Look at how much trust and bitachon they have, and how much, of course, there's a left side also of Israel. There was such beauty in seeing the people that saved the whole year to come to Uman. Just the level of you're not talking about people with tons of money. You're talking about people that didn't have a trip back. And I saw such a level of determination from them. It was such a beauty to see. There was such love in Uman and such unity. And that's ultimately what Rabbi Nachman does. When anybody comes to Rabbi Nachman's teachings, they drop their own luggage and they're all going to United. There's no fights. There's no nothing. It's all one. Who cares who you are? You're Sephardic, you're Ashkenazi. Nobody even knows. You don't even notice it. Nobody even notice who's Satmar, who's this. But that's the power of a tzaddik, connecting to something higher. What Rav Nachman did, he took away the duality. There's all unity. And that's ultimately what we have to get to. And when we understand this, then we're also part of the solution, not part of the problem. Part of the problem means I'm better than you, you're better than me. Part of the solution means we're all one. That's the solution. And we can only get there by being humble to recognize this is all about winning. And this is why our sages say that when we have unity below, our Creator judges us like a father. When we have disunity below, our Creator judges us like a king. King is justice, father is love. So imagine the ability to have judgment from above, it really depends on how you are handling below. Rabbi Nachman also tells us it's very, very important that speaking with one's friend, when you speak to your friend about moral guidance and spiritual matters, arousing him in tshuva, this is a tikkun for you. So we're thinking, you know, let me just do my tshuva and I'm good. You can leave it alone. When I'm helping you, you know what happens? Or not specifically, if a person had a lot of issues with pigama brit or sexual premises, the word keruv means to bring back. Carry means to spill a seed. Rectifying, help bringing other people's, because what happens? All those souls that a person spilled when he lost, there was lost souls. So when he now goes bring people back, he rectifies all those lost souls. Because what happens? Now I'm bringing human souls. So it's very important that you can't just, not even about you. Whatever knowledge you have, you're obligated to help others. And that will actually keep the pipeline going. It will keep the merchandise fresh. Anytime you're in a position to help people, your Creator will give you the words to tell them. The merchandise was fresh. It's a higher level of consciousness that becomes the upper consciousness, becomes the lower consciousness. Then you can help them. So it's always very, very important that whatever level you're on, you should always have people you speak to, talk about, because that itself, number one, sharpens your own mind. Number two, rectifies all the stuff that you were, when you discourage people, now you have to encourage them. So it's very, very important to always help people, pray for them, etc., and all that. Teshuvah also means returning a thing to the place from which one is taken, to restore it and return it to its root, right? Now, wisdom is the root of everything. This is why you have to guard your mind and your wisdom against any kind of extraneous thoughts, etc. Again, there's nothing wrong with acquiring an abundant amount of knowledge. But you have to be careful, just like the sukkah. It could be as wide as possible, but it cannot be that high. It cannot reach a higher level than 10 amot, than 10 tefachim, right? 10 amot. 20 amot? 20 amot, right?
It's like about 10 meters.
10 meters. Yeah, you can't go higher. That means you can. You have to have the shade. You have to have the shade. The whole purpose is you have to have the shade. Right. You have to have the shade of the sukkah. I believe 20 amot.
10 meters. Yeah, 10 yeah. meters. It's 20 amot is 10 meters.
20 amot is 10 meters. So it cannot be higher than that, because if your wisdom goes above the roof, that means you could start acting like God. This is what the problem with Eve. She tried to be just like God. No. All godliness is, it can be wide as possible, but it has to be with humility. You still have to be under. You have to recognize at the end of the day, our Creator opens up our minds and close it. Reb Nachman says, returning to God out of love has the power to efface every sin that you did. All of a sudden, when you return out of love, the reward for it is you're going to be able to have, you're going to be able to pray, and you're going to have a clear mind in a state of expanded consciousness. Wow. So if you're going to come back, make sure you take the hav lane. Come back out of love. Don't come back out of guilt and shame and embarrassed. Come back. That's part of it, to be embarrassed that you could have done better. There's no shame. We're embarrassed that we should have done better. We know better. The better version of us doesn't scream at somebody. The better version in front of us accepts it. We are not perfect, but when you do make a mistake, which you will have happen, because otherwise it would not be teshuva. What's the purpose of teshuva if everybody was perfect? You're going to make these mistakes 1,000 times, but when you do make the mistake, make sure your mistake, you come back and saying, I could have done better. Just like a child, you tell them, you could do better. You're much stronger than this. You're better than this. You could say, Gedalia, you're better than this, to give away energy. You're better than this to get angry. You're better in this. Not like, you don't say, you're bad, you're good, you're not. A child, you always tell him, this is not like you. You're better than this. So when you come back with love, you're coming back with knowing I could have done better. What do I need to do? Why did I slip up? Oh, 3-4 days have gone without talking to my Creator. Oh, that's going to cause you to slip up. 3-4 days without focusing on learning. That's going to cause you to screw up. So focus on the lesson behind why you screwed up. It's usually not the end. The incident is only teaching you, like I gave the example yesterday. If it's taking you, if you're going up three flights of stairs and you're out of breath, this is not the time to take the elevator. This is time to say, oh my God, I can't even step. I can't even go three flights of stairs without losing my breath. I need to get in shape. This is not the time to take the elevator like the whole world does. Oh, time to take the elevator. No. Why am I losing so much energy on three flights of stairs? Am I smoking? Am I eating right? Am I in the right mindset? Time to change the diet. Don't look at loss of energy as something where, oh, take the stairs, that's easier. You'll never get to the root of the issue, which means God's teaching you, hey, if you can't go up three sets of stairs without breathing, and we did it in Uman, you know, it was with a couple individuals, they're taking the luggage, I don't know, a block. I can't breathe. Well, obviously he was smoking, eating horrifically. Yes, that's a problem. If you cannot go a block in luggage and you already feel like you can't breathe, we have a problem. We need to get in shape. This is not a time to pay somebody to take the thing for you. So it's teaching us all. Let's look at the lesson behind everything. But the main thing you should work on, guys, the main thing you should work on is becoming less self-centered. That is the closest way to get closer to your Creator. Our sages say, me and an arrogant person cannot stay in the same room. Who's gonna go? Arrogance means self-centered. Arrogance means blaming other people. Arrogance means everything's about you. Arrogance means everything's about you. Everything's about you. Humble means there's a bigger picture. I'm learning. If I have difficult people in my life, it's an opportunity for give them mercy. It's not always I'm the one getting abused. I'm the one getting this. I'm the one. We never think about it in your lives. Ask yourself, did you ever succeed ever by blaming others, or did you succeed when you started taking responsibility? Humble people take responsibility. Lack of arrogance, which is low self-esteem, it's always they are the victims. The victims get nothing. We want to be co-creators, etc. Have a great day.